I was thinking in my mind, there were a couple of scriptures that I remember that seemed like he latched on to, and I was going to go try to find them. Now, Julie can testify, it took me about 7 or 8 levels of search engine to get that machine to finally cough up what it knew the whole time. Because if you go and try to research Christopher Columbus, you're going to find all kind of stuff, and none of it's going to be godly. Finally, in fact, I heard somebody on a show the other night. They were talking about AI, and this woman said, you know, AI will lie, and told a story. Said, I've stopped and said, well, you're lying here, aren't you? And the machine said yes. Why? Because the machine, no matter what you want to say about AI, it's programmed. Those algorithms that it operates off of, some man made and stuck it in there, right? So I wrestled with the machine for a while, and the machine finally coughed it up and said, oh, gee, you must know that Christopher Columbus quoted some scriptures, so here. And got into several different places where it talks about his own writings, Christopher Columbus's own writings. In his writings, you can say, for instance, why did Columbus think that he could reach the East by sailing west? Okay, that's basically how it worked out. Why did he think he could reach the East by sailing west? Columbus believed that his voyages were divinely inspired, that the Holy Spirit guided him through the illumination that he received from Scripture. That's what he wrote. In fact, if you really want to take the time, you can go and read some of the letters that have made it through time that he sent to the king and queen there in Spain when he was trying to get the voyage going on. and you can also read where some of the people say, oh, don't, the idea that he was going to get to advancement of the Christian faith, don't pay any attention to that after all. That's what you said in those days in order to get a monarch to give you some money, right? Okay, so in other words, it's written down, he said it, but these people now know that he was lying. You understand how arrogant? I mean, that's as bad as the Jews that day in the temple, right? Okay. The two verses of scripture are, one was Isaiah 40, 12. And it says that God is the one who sits on the circle of the earth. Isaiah 40:22, he who sits on the circle of the earth. Now, not everybody in Columbus's day thought the earth was flat, but most of them did. The scientific community as a whole pretty much universally did, and within the church, the organized church of the time, they adhered to the idea that the earth was flat. Not everybody, some people felt differently, but Columbus, by this passage of scripture, was convinced that the earth had to be round. Because it says, he, talking about God, who sits on the circle of the earth. The other verse that he said in his writings, he said drove him, was John 10:16. Now in John 10:16, Jesus said, telling his disciples, that I have sheep that are not of this fold, and I must go and preach also to them. And to Columbus, that meant not only is that whole idea of, you know, go out and preach the gospel, but the idea was that somewhere there were a people that nobody knew about that Jesus wanted them to know about him. That was what he said when he said the advancement of the faith. So this was the guy who undertook the voyage to come to, quote, the New World. That's 1492. Slip forward a little bit. You've got in 1620, we have William Bradford and the Pilgrims, right? And some of you may be like me, you tend to get confused between Pilgrims and Puritans, okay? The word pilgrim actually is a traveler, someone who goes out on a journey. And the idea is it's usually, especially a religious journey that he's undertaking. That's the definition of pilgrim. They call them Plymouth Pilgrims because Plymouth was where they sailed from in England. But these people were not Puritans. Puritans were ones who wanted to purify the church. In this case, we're talking about the Church of England. All these people are England, Scottish, okay. The Church of England. The Pilgrims, on the other hand, were what they referred to as Brownist. They were separatist. They said, screw this, you're not going to fix this church, okay? They were Congregationalist. Now, that means that they believed that each church had its own congregation, and not that they would be totally autonomous or completely separated from each other, but just that each congregation had its own personality, its own leadership. Maybe God would have each one doing something. They weren't always supposed to be the same, right? As opposed to the Church of England, where the king was in charge of the church and everything had to be the same way. In fact, of those people, not to go too far with all this, but as those people, some of them were imprisoned, some of them were actually executed. If you were in England and you didn't go to church on Sunday, look around the room. If you didn't go to church on Sunday, you paid a fine. And if you did it a lot, you got jail time. If you didn't go to church. That's so totally foreign to us now as to, you know, I mean, think about COVID back in 2020. If you went to church, you got fined, right? Okay? A 180. But that's where our heritage is. That's where these people came from. And these people were English. They had had enough of the persecution. So they fled to Amsterdam, Holland, in the Netherlands. And they tried it. They tried working out there because religiously, they were much more free. Okay? Socially, language, etc., didn't work out well. They had trouble getting jobs. They had trouble with the language. They had trouble assimilating with the people. And so finally, they reached a point where they had heard about what was going on in, quote, the new land, the new world, and they decided they would come to America because there was none of that stuff there. So, very long story, all the stuff they went through to try to get land patents and all that.